Amen. If you've watched any commercial television or listened to any commercial radio, you have been bombarded by political ads lately. We know this is voting. When we're not hearing about the Powerball or whatever, the lottery, we're hearing about the vote. And this is a simple message today, as we know that as clergy, we do not take sides. But however, we indicate what side to be on. Amen. We do not promote candidates from the pulpit. The law says that is illegal. There's a reason for that. But we see that broken time and time again. But today I want to share with you some things that we need to consider as Christians when we vote. Who is influencing your vote? Is the title for today. And our Christian values should point us in the right direction. There is a biblical mandate for us as Christians, citizens, to prayerfully consider and vote for our leaders and to continue to pray for them. In the first part of Deuteronomy 1, it has where Moses is told that it is now time to choose leaders among you, to prayerfully consider choosing leaders among you, people who will judge you fairly. And that is our intent when we vote, but we always run into individuals who think their votes don't count, who think that votes are not worth it. If anyone who thought that way, I hope that the last couple of years has changed your mind. A few years ago, the National Council of Churches compiled a list of things that Christian principles that we need to consider when voting. And that's what this message is based off of, some of those principles. And I will share them with you right now so that you will not have to worry about me forgetting, neglecting to share them later. But number one, we need to pray for cooperative leadership. We need to pray for cooperative leadership. Number two, we need to pray for responsible leadership. Responsible leadership. And number three, we need to pray for just leadership. Just leadership. Cooperative, responsible, and just. During a confrontation with Jewish leaders, Jesus was asked many questions. And one of them from Mark chapter 12 was, what is the greatest commandment? Mark chapter 12, starting at the 28th verse. Then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well, and asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, and the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like this, is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. I believe that cooperative leadership is founded on leadership that can love their neighbor as themselves. We live in a generation where so many people are out for number one, out for what can you do for me? not what can I do for thee.
Tell it.
We live at a time where we are so self-centered, only thinking about ourselves. But there is a need for cooperative leadership. All we have to do is look at what's happening between us and our global neighbors. Instead of reaching out and holding hands and seeing what we can do cooperatively together, we're talking about building walls that will separate. It is interesting that you don't talk about building walls when people can do something for you. But when you can do something for them, suddenly you want to put a wall between you and them. And when we talk about leadership, I don't want anybody to think that I'm just talking about the White House. But if anything has been learned over the last couple of years is that all the parties have to work together to make the government run. We have the Congress, we have the Senate, and then even in our own states, in our own cities, we have leadership that determine the course of our activities for many years to come. And if we have leadership that's in it for themselves, then they have no thought of what's going to happen to the rest of us. You know, God created us for each other. That's one of the reasons he created us, was for each other. And therefore, our security depends on the well-being of our neighbors. We look for leaders that have a foreign policy based on cooperation. Global justice needs to be of urgent concern. You know what? It's interesting. I've lived long enough to have seen politicians make promises to get elected. But somehow have amnesia once they are elected. They can say the right things to get into the position. But once they get into the position, suddenly they forget what they have said, and if they are called on it, want to indicate that it might just be fake news. But global justice, it's okay to be concerned about your partners that have means that can help us. But what about your partners who are doing crimes against mankind? Where is the concern for that? Where is the concern for those who don't have enough to eat in certain parts of the world? Where is the concern for the least of these? We need to preferably look at the records of those running for office. What have they done in the past? Now, God knows, I know people can change. But usually what you've done in the past is an indication of what you will do in the future. We need cooperative leadership. Not ones that sell wolf tickets all the time about what they're going to do and what we can do. War is contrary to the will of God. Foreign policy and diplomacy should work together hand in hand. We recognize that force is necessary, but it should never be the first option. It should never be the first thought. We need leaders who seek peaceful means of conflict resolution rather than military means. We need leaders that will actively seek nonviolent solutions to conflicts. Romans 12:18 tells us that if all possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. It is so easy to fight. I used to tell people that it's so easy to ball up your fists. and fight.
That's right.
But it takes far more strength
uh-huh.
to refrain from fighting.
Come on.
To refrain from fighting. You know, the word talks about meekness. And we see meekness as a form of weakness.
Tell it.
But to me, my definition of meekness is power under control.
Come on now.
That's what meekness really is. It's power under control.
Right.
You have the power. You can ball up your fists.
Free.
You can order strikes against other people.
That's right.
But can you restrain yourself and reach out and seek a resolution that does not involve violence?
That's right.
Where is the diplomacy? Where is the breaking bread together?
Uh-huh.
And let's see if we can work this out.
Come on.
Where is that? Don't you know Jesus was a peacemaker?
Amen.
In the Beatitudes, if we look at Matthew 5, 9, one of the things he says to the crowd, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who do not seek as the first option to take the first strike. Blessed are those who will refrain from doing that. Look at the policies. Look at the history of those on the ballot. Are they confrontational? And it's interesting. I have seen something happen in the last couple of years. There is this thought of follow the leader. You know, the attitude of the leader gives permission for others to exhibit the same attitude. So if you have a confrontational leader, you will have a confrontational people who will think that that's okay to be that way. But it ought not to be that way. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. The second thing we need to pray for is responsible leadership. In responsible leadership, in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus teaches us to ask God for what we need, how to treat others, and how to live as a child of God. But in verse 12, it teaches us our responsibility to the world, which reads, therefore, all things whatsoever you do that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Think about it. What you want people to do to you. How you want people to treat you. We need to treat other people.
That's right.
That way.
No.
Doesn't that seem reasonable?
But
yet it's so hard to embrace. We need responsible leadership. We have a biblical mandate to welcome strangers. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. If we are building walls, how are we entertaining strangers? If we are passing legislation that makes it harder on one group of people than it is for another group of people? How are we entertaining strangers? Where is the fairness? Where is the equity in the world? When we neglect our responsibilities, when we neglect our responsibilities and watch immigration policies be made to put the thumb on one segment of people who just happen to be people of color, and opens arms to others, Where is the responsibility in leadership? Even in the Old Testament, they had cities of refuge.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Where if you felt like you were charged inappropriately or accused of a crime that you did not commit, you had cities you could go to and you would have protection until everything was settled. But how can they have protection if we won't even let them in the first place?
Amen.
And if they're in, they want to kick us out?
Right.
We need responsible leadership. Don't you know that we are who we are by the grace of God?
Amen.
And because of God's grace, we're called to be in the right relationship with one another. Because of God's grace to us, since he thought enough of us to give us what we have, to give us the salvation, the relationship that we have with him, not because we earned it or not because we deserve it. It is a gift of God, as we see in Ephesians chapter 2. It is the gift of God. But yet, we get so high and mighty sometimes that we neglect a certain population because they have not been blessed as we have. Hebrews 13:3. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. We are of one body. If not for the grace of God, the situations could have been flipped.
Tell it.
It could have been us locked up instead of them.
Preach.
It could have been us in chains instead of them. If not for the grace of God, it could have been me.
That's right.
We need responsible leadership that leads all people fairly and not just the select few. We look for political leaders who seek restoration and not retribution. We look for leaderships that approach the criminal system with an eye for reform and not just lock them up. Lock them up. We need responsible leadership. And the last point I want to lift up is we need just leadership. Just leadership. Just means just do the right thing. We need just leadership. You know, Israel was not doing so well. They were not following the Lord. And in Micah addresses God's case against Israel in the sixth chapter of Micah. And it's a rhetorical situation because there's a thought that if we can get back on good graces with somebody just by giving them stuff, just by doing stuff. And in Micah chapter 6:6, this rhetorical question is, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. See, that's a self-centered person. Thinking they can get out of it by just giving. What's your price? How can I be cleared of this? You know, the early church got in trouble. When I say the early church, this is way, way early church. Because they started some bad practices and they formulated this plan called indulgences. And what indulgences were forgiveness slips. So they had this practice of if you sinned, You could go to the priest, and the priest could forgive you.
Tell it.
And over time, they said, well, you know what? Let's make a little money for the parish. Let's make a little money for the church. Let's make a little money for myself.
Uh-huh. Come on.
That I will have a price list for sin. So if you want to be forgiven of certain sins, here's the price. And you can come into my confessional booth, and I will forgive you, and you will be forgiven. So you know, it might be a certain number of dollars or pounds or whatever currency there was for certain sins of lying and stealing, and then, you know, on up to murder. And you would be forgiven. So there's a story that is well known about an enterprising young man who said, I would like to buy an indulgence for robbing somebody. Now, he asked the question, can you do it in advance? Can I do it in advance? Can I buy it? Something I'm planning on doing, can I buy it in advance? Can I be pardoned in advance for what I'm about to do? So this enterprising priest said, this is an easy one. Yes, my son, you can be pardoned in advance. Here's the price. What is the indulgence or the sin that you need to be forgiven? He said, I'm going to rob somebody. And the priest said, yes, here's the price. He prayed for him, heard his confession, and forgave him of the crime to come in advance. And the young man turned and robbed the priest. Sometimes we think only about ourselves and what we can get for ourselves. We neglect being just in leadership. As Micah 6 says, when they cry out, how can I be forgiven of my transgressions? Can I give you enough so that I can be forgiven? And the answer is in verse 8, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It's not about how much you have. It's not about how much you have, but it's what you can do for all mankind. Jesus showed us what he could do for all mankind. Just leadership. We need leaders who will reject policies that abandon large segments, especially our inner cities and rural populations. We need ones who will reject policies that put the thumb on the hopelessness. We need to prioritize on rebuilding communities, breaking cycles of violence. Those are the leaders we need to vote for. God calls us to be advocates for those that are most likely to be left out on the outside. We need leaders who will focus on economic justice. On economic justice, and we'll see to reduce the growing disparity between the rich and the poor. Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
That's right.
Is a threat to justice everywhere. Hebrews 13:16 says, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased.
Amen.
Share with those that have less than us. I remember, you remember the show, The Jeffersons. George Jefferson. He got to a point where he lost himself most of the time. Because he lived in his deluxe apartment in the sky. Fish don't fry in the kitchen. Beans don't burn on the grill. We have arrived. We have arrived. But in our arrival, are we lifting somebody else up with us? Are we lifting as we climb, or are we stepping on the shoulders of others to get to a higher position? That is the question. You can look at the leaders of those who are running for leadership and discern where they are. How have they gotten to their place in society? Has it been by helping others? Do they have a history of helping others? Or do they have a history of stepping on others as they reach higher goals? Have they been recipients of laws that are only reserved for the wealthy? And neglected or skated around the laws that apply to the rest of us? You know, another reason we need to be just is because we're made in the image of God. Aren't we made in the image of God? And therefore, we are precious in His sight. Psalm 139:14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. We need leaders that recognize that every life is precious. Every person is precious. Every person is made in the image of God. Every person is someone in need of a helping hand, not a slap in the face. We need leaders that show up when they need to show up. And we need leaders. One other thing that's becoming increasingly aware to me is we need leaders who are responsible stewards of God's creation. You know, we read the stories about the ozone layer, and we read the story of what fossil fuel is doing negatively to impact the environment. We read the stories and see the reports about all the trash in the ocean. We see all that we have done to create to where we are today. The earth is Lord's. And all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein.
Amen.
So if the earth is the Lord, it's all His fullness. Then we are stewards of His creation.
Amen.
So we need to be about taking care of our environment. Taking care. You know, I believe the Lord's going to come one day.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
But until that day, we need to take care of His creation.
Amen.
We also are called to take care of and heal the sick.
Yes.
Jesus healed the lepers. Only one came by and said thank you. But He still healed all of them who came to them. Peter healed the blind folks. We need leaders who will support adequate health care for all. Those are the kind of leaders, accessible health care. Health care can be right across the street from you. We live in what? The city of medicine. But does everyone have access to the same level of health care? Does everyone have access? And one final thing is we need to provide enriching learning environments for all of God's children. It is our moral imperative is to make sure that our children have all the resources they need.
Tell it.
To learn and to grow. We know, train up a child in the way he should go. Mm-hmm. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. But don't you know that we cannot put all the responsibility on the schools? We cannot put all the responsibility on the government.
Come on.
The responsibility begins with the parents. We need to work cooperatively with the school system, the government. And we as Christians, we need to lift our brothers and sisters up. We need to let them know their responsibility. And if they cannot fulfill that, we are to grab them by the hand and help them. But we are to vote for leaders that will take care of all the children, not just a children in a certain area of town, but all the children. Separate and equal does not apply any longer. It should be all or nothing. You know that people sell their houses and leave their neighborhoods because of the school conditions of the schools that their children go to? That ought not to be. That ought not to be. It starts with us. We are the ones who teach our children. We are the ones who push our leaders that this is the way it needs to be. Instead of building bigger jails and prisons, let us build better schools. Let us do the right thing. Who's influencing your vote? It's not about the flashiness of the ad. It's not about the slickness of the flyer that comes in the mail. It is about what have they done in their past. How have they prepared themselves to earn my vote? As a Christian, I'm looking for certain things on your resume that tells me it's okay to vote for you. Are you a cooperative person? Are you a responsible person? Are you a just person who seeks justice for all? So therefore, as you prepare to cast your votes on November 6th, some of you will do it early. Do your research. Do your own research. Take time to read up on the candidates. Take time to visit some of the open forums that the candidates have. Take time to ask the candidates, what are you going to do for the people? Let that be your judge. Let that be your guide. There is no candidate that's perfect. But we pick the ones that are best positioned to help all the people and to break down the walls that are between us. Amen. And my prayer is that we will do that on this election day. Again, I can't tell you who to vote for. I can just give you some food for thought in selecting the vote. Don't go in and accept the flyer that says vote for these. Be informed yourself. And if you don't know anything about any of them, ask somebody else. Educate yourself. God's people depend on it. God's mandate depends on it. God's creation depends on it. God bless you. Who's influencing you? Who's influencing your vote? Amen. That's a different type of sermon, y'all. I haven't heard me preach like that. But it was something that needs to be said. For too long, we are silent from the pulpit about certain things. It's okay And rightfully so, we should be preaching about the good life right now and the good life eternal. But we need to preach about our leadership. And we need to put pressure on them to do the right thing. There is the power in the vote. I like to say, no vote, no voice. Amen. If you want your voice, then vote. It's coming. Is it too late to register? I think it is. It's not too late. Not too late to register. So someone hasn't registered. See Minister Phillips after service. She can tell you how to do it. Amen. Let us stand. Let us stand.